I very much support the idea that runners should like wear whatever they want. That if I'm wearing my little short shorts after I run and you have a problem with it, it's your problem. Then I see a man walking around the mall with tight tights and his little bulge sticking out. I'm like,
yo,
for the love of God, is there no decency left? I very much support.
So what you guys just heard was Fast Kate Grace.
Hilarious.
1500, 800 meter runner for Nike. Having some controversial words, bro.
Hot topic.
Not the store, but people are definitely walking around Hot Topic, Hollister, Payless, Build-A-Bear. Kate Gray saw people like that walking around with men, walking around with short shorts, walking around with biker shorts.
He was walking around with tights on, no shorts over, bulge sticking out at the grocery store.
Is that too much, Aaron? Are you support? Because she says she's very much a support of runners walking around with running clothes after their runs. I don't even know if I support that. Like, put that away. You know what I mean?
Hey, man, walking around with your bulge out, that's a lot. But we talked about this a little bit before air. And, you know, I really thought about this. And it depends on two things. How long ago did you work out? Mm-hmm. And the second is, where is the place that you're in your workout clothes? Now, the funny thing about this is I just came from Trader Joe's and I saw this girl in there. She was wearing a sports bra and a little spandex.
Right. Wasn't I tell you this 2 days ago? That girl.
I didn't think people actually did that. I was like, no, people don't be doing that. Like, that's weird. Like, I'm sorry. In my opinion, I'm like, that's a little weird. You know, like, I wouldn't be going after I work out. You're not going to catch me with short shorts and a tank top or whatever, you know, sweaty shopping, you know, at the grocery store. But it depends. What if, and Trader Joe's, this could be a whole podcast. Trader Joe's is a unique place, because I think if you're wearing that outfit, you're coming from, you're going to 7-Eleven right after you work out. That's normal. I don't think
How much are you getting from Trader Joe's though? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're going on a whole shopping spree, because I was talking to you, Aaron, I was all like, bro, so if I went to go do a workout at the track, I'm bringing an extra shirt. I'm bringing some sweats. Definitely if it's summertime, honestly, even if it's the end, because at the end of my workout, I sweat a lot. Naturally, a lot of people sweat a lot. Like, my shorts are going to be drenched. Like, you feel me?
Me too. That's why I think that's nasty. I would. So like, that's why I don't do it.
I'm putting on some sweats afterwards. I'm going to put on a shirt. You feel me? Sometimes I won't do that if I got to run in to get a 7-Eleven, get a Gatorade real quick. You know, I'm going to get some body armor real quick. Maybe get some Prime. Shout out KSI. You feel me real quick? But like, I'm not going to go on a full Target run and get some bananas, apples, some meat, all this type of stuff. Like, come on, man. Like, take a shower first. Bathe yourself.
I'm gonna at least just, to the guy, back to the dude in the tights walking around grocery shopping. Kate, I agree with you. That's too much. Put some shorts over that. There's kids walking around. That's a little bit too much. To the homegirl I saw today in Trader Joe's, I'm on the fence, because if she was wearing those, if she worked out 3 hours ago and she was still in that at Trader Joe's, I think that's a little strange. I'm not gonna lie. But if she just came, you know, let's say the gym was right down the street and she came in there just to pick up some Trader Joe cookies or something and then leave, that's cool. But if she just out there grocery shopping in that after she had done a whole workout for, you know, just walking around smelly, you know what I'm saying? But not putting those long shirt on or nothing, I don't know, man. I don't know. I really think it depends on, for me, it's about where are you going. I think there's certain places where it's just like, yo, that's weird. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how long have you had those clothes on? Those are the two things that really do it for me. You gotta look at that.
I think we need to come down to the distinction that running clothes, spandex, if it's spandex, compressions, running shorts, or whatever, that's basically underwear. But I think we need to come down to that You're walking around in your undergarments. Let's be real. That's underwear, bro. I don't like that's, yeah. That's how I'm feeling. That's underwear. Like, put some shorts on. Like, it ain't that hard. Put some shorts on. And honestly, Aaron, there's a chance this girl, she didn't come from the gym. Like, honestly, she may have just walked out like that. Not saying there ain't nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying that's real life. That's the world that we live in. So I'm just saying. But yeah, you feel me? That's just
I don't know, man. Shout out, we gotta get Kate Grace. I gotta get Kate Grace on the podcast. Kate, we need you to come on and let us know, like, where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line?
Without further ado, I'm Joshua Potts, Mr. Possible, always the brother with the same mother, Aaron Potts, Super Hot Potts, and you're watching and listening to your favorite two black runners every single
Tuesday. Yes, sir. We're back after a little short little week break. It was a busy week. A bunch of stuff happened in the running world. Track is back. A lot of cross country, high school cross country popping off. Shoot, CIM, for a shout out to everybody. Anyone listening that raced CIM this weekend, shout out to you. TRE, the running event, just came from that in Austin, Orlando, USATF meetings. We're rolling, man. 2024 is right around the corner. That means the Olympics are right around the corner. The Olympic trials are right around the corner. Shoot, how you feeling about this right now, bro? How you feeling about where we at? You about to go to New York soon? Like, yo,
I don't know.
Lots happening.
Yeah, bro, I'm trying to finish school, man. I'm trying to finish school. I got two more weeks. I got one more in-person class of undergrad this Wednesday. I got two more Zoom classes of undergrad this Thursday and next Thursday. I'm just trying to finish school, bro. But super hype, bro. I didn't even realize that, like, track is definitely back. This is like BU signified track being back. But before we get there, bro, we got cross country. It's cross country here. It's the first 2 weeks of December, Aaron. And that's one of my the first two weekends of December are some of my favorite weekends because we get NXN and then we get Foot Locker Nationals. All attentions on high school cross country, and it's always, always exciting. We had NXN this past weekend, a really, really muddy NXN too. Puddles, rain, basically lakes in the tire, in the course. It was windy and everything, and we saw huge upsets. I feel like surprising wins. Addie Rinsenhein won the women's race, and then JoJo Jordan won the boys' race. And a muddy NXN, Addie marched down Elizabeth Leachman, who really had a lead about like 100 meters at one point. She was moving. JoJo Jordan really made a big move with 1K to go. The guys were together the entire time, but JoJo just took it away at the end of it. Like, but they're talking about this mud and everything. I seen a lot of commentary, people talking about it. This is that real cross country. This is what the real cross country is. The mud, I seen people slipping, you feel me, falling down. The people doing mud slides afterwards in the race. There's a big puddle, like literally like sock deep, like crew sock deep that these kids were running through at one point in the race. Like, is that real cross country? Is that real cross country, Aaron? I feel like a little bit.
I'm from California, bro. I'm from California and I ran the 800 in the mile. When I was in high school, I don't care about no cross country, man. I don't care about no cross country, man. But the worst cross country course I ever ran in my life was it was my senior year of college in on the Big Island in Hawaii. Beautiful, beautiful. But if you don't know, in Hawaii on the Big Island, it rains every single day. It's like tropical rain every single day. And the course, I just remember warming up on that course, laughing like, no way we're about to run in this. Like, how do you run fast in this? Like people were slipping and falling on the turns in the races, bro. Like, everyone ran like 3 minutes slower than what they would usually run. So like your point, Like, is that cross country or is it just like a tough mutter? Is it?
It's a tutter mutter, tutter mutter, bro.
When does it become a Spartan race? When does it become a Spartan race? You know, just like we're talking about lines being drawn today, I guess. But hey, shout out to Addy though. You know, it does cross country runners. I will say, you got to be tough and you got to be able to face the elements. I always felt like track was like, I mean, I guess you could depend on how you looked at it. You could say that the track is the equalizer, or you could say the cross country is the equalizer because there's all these things on the course. But then track is built to run fast. Cross country is built to just like, you know, get through it, you know.
I think it definitely makes it entertaining in a way, you know, like seeing all the mud and stuff. But I don't know. I like to see kids run fast. I like to see even competition. I don't like to see no mud puddles. But like you said, like we from California. So like I guess where our view is definitely skewed. Like our most memorable course, like if it rains just a little bit, like they're gonna put you on the roads. They have a rain course for you to run on the roads. Like we don't run through that mud. So like, which is kind of wild. You know what I mean?
So maybe we don't even know what cross country is, bro.
Or maybe we just doing it the right way. Like maybe we doing it the right way for like people don't have to run through mud and stuff like that. I don't know. I feel like that's normal. That's normal, to be honest.
You can't
like
be having deers on the course, man. We're tackling kids, bro.
Yeah. Come on, deer? Bro.
That was crazy.
Like, I don't want my seventh man being tempted to do a cannonball in this puddle. Like, come on, man. Like, you feel me? Like
that's too much, bro. You kicked off the team if you do that.
That's what be happening in this type of things. But like how you said, Addy Ritzenheim, shout out to her. Shout out to everybody that competed, especially from California, because we've seen a lot of these people, especially Santiago High School. They come from our league, the Big Eight, Corona, just down the street from where we grew up. Riley Blade, Koji, Braylon, and all those people. Shout out to y'all. You ran amazing. Excited what y'all going to do next year. But I'm excited for Addy Ritzenheim too, bro. She's the daughter of Dathan Ritzenheim and Kaylin Todebush, who were first and fifth at the 2000 Foot Locker Nationals. Their daughter, Addy, just won the 2023 NXN National Championships and led NIWAT to runner-up trophy. And she's only a sophomore. Last year, bro, she ran 10:21 in the 2 mile, and also she ran 4:57 in the mile as a freshman. She's now a sophomore, NXN champion. Is this the start of Ritzenheim domination?
Dude, I don't know if it's the start of domination. There's so many good girls in high school. We talk about Riley Blade out of Santiago, you know, from our hometown. We talk about Sadie Englehart. She was just at Foot Locker this weekend. The girl who won, Kiara Daly, she was only a sophomore, and she was looking good, bro. Like, I'm like, man, can this girl win Foot Locker? So it's just crazy that I just feel like on the girl side, you know, the past couple of years, the top person hasn't been a senior. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. We got to talk about the homegirl, Sophia Rodriguez. She's a freshman now.
Yeah.
We seen her at Nike Indoor Nationals when she was in the eighth grade. I saw that there was an NXN girl that was in the eighth grade. So
I think she finished like top 10 too.
So yeah, I can't say that Addy's just going to dominate everyone, because the field is just so good. And whenever someone comes in, like a Sadie, who, you know, puts the bar so high, it seems like the girls just go and they go match it. They're not afraid. They go after it and they just step up to that level. So what I do know is that, you know, the boys been getting a lot of attention the past couple of years with Leo and Lex, but there are some amazing high school girls right now doing crazy things. And I think this year you're really going to hear like those stars, you know, start coming to life for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. And I don't know if it's going to be domination. That's definitely for effect and for us to debate about it. You know what I mean? But I do think that this is a big start for Addie. And I think even when we saw her like last year, well, earlier this year when she raced at indoor nationals, I remember people talking to us about her and just saying like, oh, she's a great competitor. Like she's intelligent and how she races. And like, this is her first year as a freshman. And like, I think she's diving deeper and deeper into the sport. And maybe there's even just that knowledge that Dathan really has as well. That's going to help her just big time. You know what I mean? Like she probably has, we just talked to Nixon in our last podcast, how he's been in it for 5 years and has all these amazing people and sees such great athletes. Like she got Olympians around her. She got Nike pros and just at arm's reach. She got Alicia Monson. You feel me?
Elise Cranny went to NIWA, bro.
She got, you know how many people she got in her ear to like go through races and the confidence that builds. It also brings on some pressure, but like if she can unlock all of that, what like the sky is definitely the limit. So hats off to her. It's going to be exciting to see. But like how you said, the girls are insane right now. I feel like one of the best girls in the country, Jane Hindegren, the one that we've seen, I think she ended up with an injury or something, but like she wasn't even at NXN. And I feel like she's someone that that could have been like the runaway favorite for this too. So it's going to be exciting. High school cross country is always exciting. NXN was last week. This Saturday, we're going to be at Foot Locker Nationals. Our fourth time going to Foot Locker, Aaron. It would have been five, but COVID, you feel me? It's knocking down everything. But our fourth time at Foot Locker. This time, we're teaming up with Hoka, giving you guys exclusive coverage as well. Aaron, what are you hyped for about Foot Locker this weekend, bro?
Man, I'll say this now, what you say, like, yeah, 4 years, and that was really like one of the big, you know, first things we ever did with Running Report and two Black runners. So, and I really did, I'm pretty sure if I look at my journal last year, I wrote like that I wanted us to be, it was one of my goals for us to be a part of the Foot Locker programming. So just want to, you know, say congratulations real quick, pat us both on the back for really,
let's go.
You know, I gotta give the glory to God too for that. That was really something that I always wanted to, was to be a part of the programming. So it's just a little baby step, but no, I'm excited. Like going to the West Regional this weekend was cool, and interviewing the kids. And I think it's cool that the West Region kids, they're going to see us again back there. And I remember just when we interviewed Kiera, how she was like, oh, I'm so bad at interviews. And I was just like kind of trying to tell her, like trying to coach her up, like, nah, you good, fam. Like, you can mess up. We're not here to make you look bad. So I always just take it as a privilege to be in these superstars' lives so early and be able to give them that good experience with media so they understand, or they can have like an idea of what it should be like, how they should be treated. So when it's something bad happens, they don't just think, oh, you know, that is just how it is. So yeah, I guess I'm just excited that I get to be a part of athlete's journey somehow, you know?
You talked about it beginning the podcast, track is back. And it's funny that we were talking about BU, because after NCAAs, we had a question: who had the bigger performance, Graham Blanks or Parker Valby? Well, Aaron, we're in that same situation. Who had the bigger performance? Because Parker Valby first went out in the 5K, and she was the first woman in NCAA history to break 15 minutes, running a 14:56. That makes running 14:56 amazing. Then Graham Blanks afterwards came back with a rebuttal, runs 13:03 to break the NCAA record of 13:08. Runs a 13:03 to do that. Both are cross country champions. Now both of our indoor 5,000 meter NCAA cross country champions. But I gotta ask you, just like cross pro, what was the bigger performance,
bro? I gotta check and see, like, what is the indoor American record, bro?
No, when I was really looking at it, Elise Cranny
1447, I think.
1433 is indoor women American record.
Dang, that's pretty fast.
That's what the least cranny ran that at BU in 2022. I think it goes to, I would give it the Graham Blanks, and not just because last time we were saying Parker Valby, but I think this really, because Graham Blanks did that in the process of also beating Kai Robinson, which I think is really big, because Graham also finished second to Kai Robinson in the outdoor 5,000 meter championship this past season and track. And so be able to beat Kai, and like Kai also broke Lavi Lalang's record running a 13.06. So for Graham Blanks to go out there, run a 13.03, I was looking at it just the other times of this year, that 13.03, considering indoor and outdoor times, that would make Graham Blanks number six, the number six American in the U.S. right now. Dang. In 23. That would put him, only people that ran faster than him is Paul Chelimo, Sean McGordy, Joe Klecker, Grant
this
Fisher,
whole year?
And Woody Kincaid. Yeah. So like, that means that this dude, once we get to Olympic trials, like he has firmly put himself in the conversation to be in that race for the Olympic trials in the 5K. So like, really good on Graham Blanks. Parker Valby's definitely there too. She would be like the number eight American. But I really like, if Graham Blanks keeps this up and like it doesn't look like he's slowing down, he's gonna be a real contender when it comes to the Olympic trials.
Everybody runs faster during the Olympic year.
Yeah.
It's not 2024 yet, but it dang near. So you already starting to see it. You already starting to see it, man. And you know, everyone got the Olympic trials on their mind, bro. I don't care if you in college or if you even in high school. You thinking about the Olympics.
Yeah, right now. And I think this guy too as well. I don't know if he's coming back to NAU next year. He's running like he doesn't want to come back to NAU, and he's trying to get that contract, trying to get that biggest bag and get on an Olympic team. Because Nico Young, I know we talked about Graham Blanks and Parker Valby. They have greater performances. But like the Nico Young had the best performance out of everybody.
Yeah, coming back and running. 7:37 for the 3K. Number three all time. Then coming back with a 13:22.
And the win. And his heat.
Oh, he won his heat. Man, I was watching that 3K. I didn't watch the whole race, but seeing the clips, I don't know. He looked like he getting into his grown man body. Like, he looks stronger. He looks like, when you think back to like him in high school, he was just, you would see like the arms kind of crossing a little bit more. I'm watching him now.
He looks strong.
He looks strong. He looked like he got a little bit more knee lift. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. His hips are under him. Like, I don't know. He may have gotten, every time I see him, I'm like, did you get taller, bro? And I'm like, we might see something different from the boy Nico this year. He would have ran in that race.
I agree. Yeah. If he was in that race. And I think it's even bigger that like he got the win too in that 3K. Like, be able to do that and get the win and get the win too. And like, he had to go around some people. Like, it wasn't like he just led start to finish. Like, he was battling and like be able to get that win. And like, he's shown that before. Like, when he ran that race in APU, when he ran that 5K, I remember this earlier this season. Like, he's able to battle too. So it's gonna be really interesting, I feel like, when we get to a lot of, which it always is, but I really feel like this class of college kids, like in the 5K of Nico, Graham, and then Parker Valby, Caitlin Tui, if she does the 15 or the 5, and then who's Graham Blanks, the girl from Harvard, I can't remember her name right now, but I feel like a lot of these,
the 15,
yeah, a lot of these kids are gonna be contending. Like, they're going to be contending for the 15. Like, they're going to be contending at the Olympic trials. And it's weird because, like, I feel like a lot of our distance runners are young. So, like, they're not that far of age. Like, I don't feel like a lot of these kids are that far of age from Sinclair Johnson. You know what I mean? From a Grant Fisher. It's not,
that's
like,
true.
Far away. But, like, they're going to be in that conversation for sure. We're going to be talking about Nico Young. Can he make this 5K team when we get to June or July or whenever the Olympic trials is? This past weekend, USATF Wing Awards, we talked about it on the podcast, about our voting, about our process. We got the vote. Like, low-key, our vote went in last minute. I'm not even going to cap. I honestly don't really remember who I voted for.
What do you mean? You voted for Shaqiri and Noah.
Nah, bro. Sure. I think I wrote
Ryan. Did you put Ryan?
Oh, okay. I put Ryan Krauser, bro. Okay. Come on, man. Come on, man. Best shot putter of all time. Best shot putter of all time. Honestly, I think he should have still. Wait, did I put Ryan? Yeah, I did. I did. It was just for the Jesse Owens and Jackie Jr. Yeah, I put Ryan Krauser. I'm pretty sure I put Ryan Krauser. That ain't a bad pick, bro. That ain't a bad pick.
It's not bad.
But briefly going over the wing awards, then we'll talk about it. USA's Performer of the Year, Shaqiri. USATF, like, championships, Performer of the Year, USA's Performer of the Year. We had Shaqiri Richardson and then Cravant Charleston both won it. The USATF World Champs Performer of the Year went to Laulonga Tafsonga Collins. The Jesse Owens Award went to Noah Lyles. The Jackie Joyner Award went to Shaqiri Richardson. And then Coach of the Year was Dennis Mitchell, who coaches Shaqiri, Tuanisha Terry, and Star Athletics, whole bunch of athletes. Kenny Benderick on that, Kyrie King, and whole lot of other people. Aaron, what you think about the Wing Awards? We had a lot of motivational speeches.
I'll
from
say
the
this. I liked about it this year. Do you remember seeing these speeches last year?
I don't. Honestly, I don't remember seeing the speeches, but like I've seen speeches in before. I don't mean, was this live stream? Usually they do a live stream like on USATF TV. Like, honestly, I didn't see as much promotion for it as normal.
I don't know. Maybe I wasn't paying attention last year, but I think it was highlighted well, at least on Instagram. I love seeing the speeches of Noah. I love seeing the speeches of Shanti and Shaqiri, you know. I don't know. And the red carpet. It looked like a really cool event. Actually, I want to shout out Sue McDonald. Sue McDonald, she won the USATF like Masters Award, and she actually trains out here in Santa Barbara with me and the squad sometimes. So she was out there. She was looking good in her dressing. Huh?
She be smacking you, huh, bro?
Stop, man. Come on, man. What you mean?
Bro, it's okay. I'm just saying.
Nah, fam. It ain't like that. But shout out to her. That's the homie. So that was cool. It was cool to see her. And I want to give USATF kudos. It looked like everyone just had a really good time. I love seeing everybody dress up. You know, I mean, Noah's speech about being bigger than the sport, you know, we hear it all the time from him. But it was cool to see it on that stage in that environment with all these track athletes trying to inspire them. And same with Shaqiri talking about she knows why she's here. She feels her purpose. And, you know, even Noah and Shaqiri are both very young people. So it's just cool that in track, like I really just feel like you get to see these athletes grow from so young and see them mature. So it's just cool as someone that is like, you know, somewhat a part of that community, to see that highlighted and celebrated, you know?
Can I stir the pots, bro? Like, I'm not trying to be, you feel me? I'm not trying to, like, be a negative Nancy, or you feel me, or nothing, or be negative.
Do what you gotta do.
I want to give, like, some recommendations, honestly. Like, I just feel like I've been hearing the same story for about the past 6 months, bro. I feel like we've been talking about the same thing for 6 months. Like, can we move on? Like, I don't know. You feel me? I feel like, honestly,
you're over it. That's how I felt last year. But keep going.
Like, it's not that I'm over it. I'm just all like, bro, like, I understand, Noah, you want to transcend the sport. And like, you doing it too. I see him with his podcast. He was reacting to some races with Joseph Fambule. Like, that was dope. That's cool. Like, he doing it. Like, kudos to you. Shaqiri, I understand you back and you better. Like, you not just back, you better. I'm all like, Shaqiri, you need to copyright that and put that on a t-shirt before I do. Like, no cap, because like, you need to put that on a t-shirt straight up. I'm just all like, bro, like, why are we still talking about this? Like we already knew like what the outcome was going to be. Like, this just like, why is this in December? Like, literally, we're about to have, we're running indoor track again. Like, people are running indoor track, and this is like the end of the season. Like, everybody's training for the new season.
This does it. So you wouldn't say this revitalizes you and gets you hyped up and makes you think back to when you watched Shaqiri from the ninth lane go and win, when Noah one, it led the team to the win in the 4x1.
Bro, who cares about last year, bro? It's about now.
It's still 2023.
Nah, bro, it's 2024. The season already started. We in boot camp right now. We training for the fall. And everybody dressing up, playing dress up. Like, come on, man. Nah. No, I'm just playing. I'm not that serious about it, but and it's like, bro, like the season's over. Like, it's been over. That's just my only issue. And even just like, and like, I don't know why it wasn't. Maybe there was a live stream, but maybe I just didn't see it. But there usually is a live stream for these award ceremonies, and people can see it. And like, I don't know why too. Like, why was it announced beforehand that like Sha'Carri and Noah Lyles were gonna get the award? Like, yeah, why is there no suspense to it, and we can bring the nominees in there? Like, I want to see Ryan Crowser. I want to hear his story more, and I want it to be like a couple, like a 2 weeks or 3 weeks after.
Oh, you actually could have watched it. It was on what's it called? The USATF. Runner Space Plus Flow Track.
Okay, bro. Okay, fine. Jokes, bro.
No, just kidding. You had to subscribe, bro.
I said, try to joke, bro. I'll be serious, bro.
But they could. Bro. But that would be cool, low key, if it was on there, but you didn't have to pay. But if they did put it on one of those, people would be listening. If it was on one of those streaming services for free, Let me put y'all on game. Let me put y'all on game.
Put that on Peacock, bro.
Peacock would be fire. But if, I'm just saying, on what is the USATF TV? Put that on USATF TV for free. And then you get people to get on there. And then I don't know what you do. You do something where they got to sign up and they get to watch that for free. And then they forget to pay. And now you got them. No, I'm just kidding. But then you could just, that's how you can start advertising and selling it to them, though. You know what I'm saying, though?
Bro, I got
put that
you
on there.
Honestly, I got you, bro. And honestly, maybe they just need some
have
more
a host?
Funding. They need some more funding or something. Like,
we'll host it. We'll me and Joshua.
I wasn't gonna say us, but like, this is what you do. Put this awards. We need just to be a celebration. Like, relax. Like, I know they've been seeing each other all year, but like, we need to relax, celebrate the athletes, give them press and everything, and last celebration, last hoorah, September 16th, 17th for this Diamond League final. Let's do that. Let's do this at the beginning of October, like the first week of October. Let's do this award ceremony. Have it on Peacock. Have it be hosted by, you can have it be hosted by Brandon Marshall, bro. Brandon Marshall introduced Noah Lyles. He can host the whole thing. Maybe even get Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart likes track. Get Chad Ochocinco. Chad Ochocinco, I'm pretty sure we'll do it. Get Ryan Clark. Get the pivot. I don't know. Get somebody like that to host it. Put it on Peacock. People are going to tune in and watch that. We have that final celebration in October. We're fresh off of Diamond League. We're fresh off of World Championships. I'm still hyped and into it. And then right now, we don't even got to talk. Like, we're just excited and, like, going into the next year. Like, put that
my
on.
Only thing with that, I think that's cool. My only thing is it's only with U.S. athletes. So I just don't know how big it will be. That's why I think it could be on one of the smaller streaming services.
What
but
do you mean?
Like,
it's we the U.S. the best though. Come on,
that's true.
We got U.S. champions.
It is only the top. It is only the top athletes that are really receiving awards, and it's another way, especially in the Olympic year. We just missed out on a big opportunity to really, you know, start telling the stories of our athletes into a wider audience. Because it was on Instagram. I think the Instagram was good. And I think it got a lot of views. But, like, I think there are some people, they have to have a performance on there, you know, get a performance on there, have a panel of people sitting down. And then, you have or just like the ESPYs or something. Yeah, have somebody funny up there, like, you know, doing hosting. I would love to see them all come out in their red carpets. You know, there's a lot of opportunity if you do it a certain way.
Yeah, I just feel like the conversation, like the stories of like, maybe I need to just like sit down and like really like watch the reel. Like, I didn't really watch it, but like, I just
feel
like
fire.
We've been talking about the same thing. Like, I feel like we've just been dragging it. Like, I want to see something different. Like, we've seen the stuff different from like Noah, but I haven't seen that much different from Sha'Carri, like, to be honest.
Like, I know, but you can't put it on the athletes like you didn't see. What they supposed to say? Like, what is she?
I know, I'm not putting it on them, but I'm just saying, that's why I don't really, like, nothing's happening.
Bro, you know how, guess how much, guess how.
Sha'Carri to come on the podcast?
Guess how many views her reel got of her speech, bro?
Bro, probably like 5 million, bro. Sha'Carri Richardson.
It's 1.9 million.
Okay, I know. But I'm just saying, I want to see something different from Sha'Carri now. Like, bro, you've been... Like,
you gotta wait till next year. You gotta wait till the season start. She'll have a new stand.
She really do need to copyright that though, don't you think? Should I DM her?
No. Put that on a shirt. I'll buy that quick. That'd be hard.
I'm gonna text T to tell her.
Now, I'm surprised Nike hasn't made that a campaign though. It might be in the works, bro. To be honest, Nike, for the Olympics, that could be a whole campaign. Just watch. You heard it
here first.
Honestly,
bro, can we just have Max Siegel's job? Like, I'm sorry, Max. Like, I'm filming. Like, I think we could do his job. I don't know if we can, but like, I think we got some good ideas.
I know that man getting a bag, so I'd love to have that job.
Come on, Max. let me run it for a year, Max. You get some rest. You feel me? People on your back too. You feel me? Just let us take it. Let's take it. We run with it. Shoot, come on, man, come on. But as we get out of here, bro, as we start wrapping up, I want to know, Aaron, you were at TRE this past weekend, so a lot of stuff went down. You feel me? The running event, the premier trade show for running industry professionals, bro. Where's running gonna be in the next 5 years? No, I'm just playing, but like, kind of just like, what was your experience like? And I think that is an interesting question. What was the one of the most interesting like industry improvements or things that are happening in the running industry that we're going to see?
For me personally, the biggest thing happening in the running industry is RIDC. It's the movement, bro. The fact that they were able, so RIDC brought out 25 retail managers, black retail managers, to TRE. And if you guys don't know, the running event is basically a conference where brands kind of come up and they set up all these booths, and then like store owners will come to see the new shoes, have sales meetings, see innovation, network, all of that. And I mean, I always am an advocate for people like transitioning from retail to the corporate brand space, because there's just more upward mobility in that. And when you're a person of color, you're black, and you get into that world, you notice that the higher you go up, the less black people you are. And then there's certain things that you will go through as a black person that you won't be able to relate to anyone who's around you. So, and that's even at the retail level, that's at anywhere in life being a black person. So the RIDC bringing those 25 black retail employees, that could change people's lives. That can open their eyes to a world. When I worked at like Sports Chalet, you know, I didn't know like half of the jobs that are available. There's so many jobs out there. I'm not saying you're gonna become a millionaire, but they're livable. Like, it's not livable, you know, always working in these stores, but there's so many brand jobs. And like I said, you could continue, you know, to find your place and move up, you know. And like, the biggest thing I looked at when I first started working at Hoka is just like, you know, you have people when you're working somewhere and you have people that are having babies, you know, getting married and buying houses, that's a good sign. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's a good sign. So the fact that RIDC was able to put the pressure on all of these brands and to put the money where their mouth is and to bring these people together, even though it was only 25, that's a strong 25. You know, black people, you know, we love seeing each other succeed, talking to each other. So that was just powerful to me. And I think regardless of how many black people are in the running industry, I think that if we can just create a culture within the running industry, then that will help us advance and not just be at the bottom, move up into places, network, because there are, it doesn't matter how many, there's black people in this space doing really cool things that are really talented, and, you know, they just need an opportunity. So to me, Because to me, that was the most powerful thing. And then outside of that, I'll also say shout out to just like, you know, I just also realized, man, like, you know, I had people coming up to me. Like, people remember, like, old live podcasts that we did, like, in New York. And even sometimes just someone like, oh, like, I know that person. And that's always, like, flattering to me. So anybody that said what's up, like, I appreciate you. Because, like, I don't walk around, like, thinking that everybody knows who Two Black Runners is and knows what the podcast is and stuff like that. So, like, that's always surprising, and it makes me feel good when people like recognize me for like not just having a podcast, but for it being like good work, being like helpful work in the world. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It's crazy, bro. It's crazy with all those connections. You made a lot of new friends, a lot of good networking. I know Caleb was out there too with you. Sure, you got some new followers on Instagram or maybe even Strava. They're going to be DMing any of those new
Strava. But LinkedIn, I'm all about LinkedIn. Add me on LinkedIn though. I'm really about that. Everybody out there, I was like, bro, put me on LinkedIn, bro. Like, that's really, come on, let's connect on there. But the Strava, no, that's crazy. There's messaging on Strava now. Like, hey, we about to talk
about
that.
To talk about that? Was Strava there? Didn't Strava?
Strava's usually, they probably were. I was really, honestly, I was stuck at my booth, like doing meetings a lot. So I didn't get to walk around as much as I did last year. But I know last year Strava was there and I actually went to like a talk thing. So I'm sure they were there in some type of capacity. But I think it is cool that there's messaging. I think that's huge for people in run groups, you know, because like instead of, I mean, you could have a run club and then you could set an event. You'd be like, yo, when are you running? Da da da, but we gotta talk about the stalkers, man. We got about to talk about those stalker runner boys. Y'all weird as hell. Y'all know y'all weird, boy. But you can hide your start and your end. But that's the only thing I'm like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Is the stalker-ish level gonna go up? They just gotta make sure that they on that, because people saying where they at on, you know, we giving out a lot of info. You know what I'm saying? You know where we run every day.
So I'll end with this, because people on here to be on Strava, I'm curious just thinking about, let's think ahead, you feel me? What's Strava etiquette in the DMs and the messages? So like, say I just ran a race, I ran with this dude for a long time in the race, and now I can see like, oh, or even if you run any race, you can now see like different people that ran on that same course as you from Strava. Like you can have
together.
Yeah, that groups you together. If I message that person, like, hey, bro, like, we ran together, like, great job. Is that weird? Is that totally normal? Is that, like, what that's used for? Is that what the tool is going to be used for?
I think it can be. I don't know, but I don't know about, I guess, that's cool if it's, like, not somebody you trying to get at low-key. I don't know. It's the same etiquette as the DM. Because you could say that, but they'd be more weird. I guess isn't more weird on Instagram if you went on a run and then you found that person and you're like, yo, I saw you on a run today.
No, that's crazy. That's crazy. That's insane. Why would you say that? That would be your opening line. I saw you on a run today. That's insane.
But that's what you would say on Strava. But I guess maybe it'll make
it. No, I literally just ran a race with you though. Like I was running side by side and like we bonded for a second.
What's the intention behind the message though? That's what it's all about. What is the intention behind the message? Are you trying to get something out of it? You know? Cause like that's when it gets weird.
Sheesh.
Hey. I don't know. But there's definitely gonna be people shooting shots in the DMs at Strava, bro. For sure.
Wishing them best of luck. Sure. Wishing them best of luck. I hope we get some stories, you feel me? Some Strava DM stories. That would be good.
Context will be on it, I'm sure.
I already seen No Context post something. He said, everybody do not abuse the Strava messages and like posting like requests for No Context. But dang.
Really, just don't stalk people. That's the only thing. Just don't stalk nobody. You can message, just don't stalk nobody and we good. Like, that's the only thing.
That's a good place to end. We'll see y'all next week on the Two Black Runners podcast. I don't know. We may have something a little bit different for y'all next week, but I guess we'll see, or just be a regular thing. But we'll be at Foot Locker this week. So stick around. Make sure you guys are following us on Instagram at Two Black Runners or at Runner Report and see a lot of our content. We'll see y'all next week. Let's get it.
Yes, sir.